Blog Talk Radio.
Friday, Taking Limits Off is on the air live from your West Side studios located on the third floor of Kingdom Missionary Baptist Church, and we have a show for you today. I am excited about it. It's going to be good. It's how to get past the post-Sunday blues. How do you get past the post-Sunday blues? That's today's conversation, man. It's going to be good. I hope y'all ready for it. My. But it's good time, man. I'm excited about it. I hope y'all ready for it, too. Let me give you the rundown, as always, of what's going on. It's your boy, your host, Mr. Dana L. King. I'm in the studio by myself again today, but that's all right. I'm in the studio, and it's all good. It's just myself. It's me. It's Taking Limits Off Radio. And it's my producer on the other side, Miss Latanya Melton, on the background, handling all the stuff, pushing all the buttons, making all the posts. That's what we do over here, but it's going to be a good time, and I'm excited about it. Y'all come on in and get ready and join in with us. Today's topic, again, is going to be good, how to get past your post-Sunday blues. Let me give you a rundown on how you can be a part of today's show. If you're already listening on the line, simply push 1, and you can be a part of today's show. Again, if you're already listening on the line, simply push 1, and you can be a part of today's show. If you're listening via Blog Talk Radio, simply dial area code 347-934-0546. Again, that's area code 347-934-0546. We would love to hear from you that way. If you are on social media, you can find us. You can tweet the show. Tweet the show at TTLO Radio. Again, you can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. We would love to hear from you that way. Yes, 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 and yes. Also, you can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/TTLO Radio. Again, that's facebook.com/TTLO Radio. You can find us that way as well. All of the email the show, email us, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. Takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. We love to read those emails live over the airwaves. The live streams are up and running. That's right. The live streams are up and running. Ustream.tv. Ustream.tv, you can find us there. Again, that's Ustream.tv. We would love to hear from you that way. Facebook Live, Facebook.com /TTLO Radio. That's where you can find us now, facebook.com/TTLO Radio. We would love to hear from you and have you watch and join in with us right there on Facebook Live. Again, Ustream.tv. Let me give you that one again, Ustream.tv. You can find us there, Ustream.tv. It's real simple, real easy to do, Ustream.tv. We'd love to hear from you that way. And then last but not least, subscribe to our podcast. Real easy to do. Subscribe to our podcast. Just do a simple search for Taking the Limits Off with Dana and Devon, and you will find us there on any of your blog, wherever you access blogs or listen to podcasts. If you just do a simple search for us, you will find us there. And guess what? When you look at it, there is no charge. There are no fees for being a part of this broadcast. The only thing we ask is that if you decide to be a part of the broadcast, you pray for us, and we'll pray for you. Amen. 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 Norma says she can't hear or see nothing. Okay, Norma, I don't know why you can't hear or see. I don't. I'm not sure why you can't hear or see, Norma. I'm not sure. I'm gonna pray that we get it together. But I don't know if it's on your end or mine. I'm going to assume it's on your end. But everything seems to be working fine on this end over here. But again, we're just grateful and grateful to have you all be a part of today's broadcast, man. I'm just excited about some stuff, man. I am. So look, we're gonna make sure we get the article today. Actually, this is an article that we had scheduled a while back, but it didn't happen. We had Pastor Prophet Cornelius Williams in with us a couple of Fridays ago, and I realized that we did not do the article. So as we were looking for a subject to discuss today, this one just kind of stuck out. So we're definitely going to make sure that we give it its full time today. Amen, amen, and amen. So look, y'all. Hey, so I'm watching the news. Y'all know we've been talking about this this soda tax thing, right? Y'all know we've been talking about this soda tax thing here in the city. For those of you who are listening outside of Chicago and outside of the county, in Chicago we have this this soda tax that's been levied on our people, and it's a sugar tax rather, and so it's for anything that contains sugar. That's the story behind it. It's for anything that contains sugar, and they've been taxing us like crazy, trying to get this. And the claim behind it is, the claim behind it is that it's for the benefit of our children. It's for the benefit of our children. The studio is dark because one of my lights is out up there. Yeah, one of the lights is out, and it's dark outside, so we're not getting that extra sunlight in because it's kind of gray. But, you know, hey, excuse me, that's what we got. We're gonna get it together. Thank you, though. This soda tax deal. So right now what's happening is there is a vote, excuse me, that's about to come up to get rid of the soda tax. They're about to overturn the soda tax right now. And our president, Prep Winkle, who's the president of Cook County, has already stated that this is going to cause massive cutbacks and all types of foolishness. And she's already threatening because she's trying to get people not to cancel this thing because they're seeing all of these funds coming from the sugar tax. So now they want to try and they want to repeal the sugar tax at this point. And here's the deal. Everybody knows this is a money grab and that we've been talking about it for weeks now. And part of it is it's senseless. It's a fake story. It has nothing to do. This tax was created not to help anybody's child. It has nothing to do with obesity. It has nothing to do with any of those things. It was simply something that was made to get a quick money grab. And I'm glad that there are some local people who have decided that that this is not something that's needed, and that there's other ways to get income or resources without overtaxing people. But that seems to be the only thing we know, and it's just really sad that that's what it has come to. But I'm glad that it looks like it's about to be repealed. I'm excited about that because that just lets me know that somebody is listening to their constituents. Somebody listening to their constituents, and their constituents done told them that this here ain't a good look, Doc. It ain't a good look at all. And if you think it's okay to keep going in and taxing folks and thinking that it ain't gonna come back and bite you in the butt, I hate to tell you, you were sorely and sadly mistaken. So I'm glad that that's something that's about to be removed from. It's a possibility that it could be repealed as soon as this week, and it would go into effect on December 1st. So that means right around y'all. That means y'all will still have to pay for your soda tax on through the Thanksgiving holiday. But by the time Christmas roll around, that soda tax will be gone. And ain't God good? I'm just glad to say, because you know, like I told somebody I was talking with the other day, I'm gonna go get my soda and my pop from from DuPage County. I'm not giving Cook County another extra dime already. Not going to do it. Not going to buy into it. Sorry. Can't participate. I'm good on that. So I just thought I would share that with you all. So if you haven't heard about it, they are looking to finally repeal the sugar tax. They're looking to repeal the sugar tax because it's just too much. It's just too much. Amen. Y'all come on in, man. Make sure y'all hit the share button. Invite your friends. And look, when you hit the share button on your Android phone, let me give you some advice, because this is how you invite your friends. So if you hit share, you're just sharing it on your Facebook page. That's what you're doing. Great. I appreciate that. But then if you hit the share button, it's going to give you the option to invite friends. Then you hit the invite friends button, and then you just start going down the line and hitting the invite button. That's what you always see us doing when you see us tapping the screens and doing all that. We're sending individual invites out to get people, to get our friends aboard. And if you think it's something that your friends would enjoy, and if you ain't, you know, you let your friends know, hey, yeah, I listen to Christian radio, and the Christian radio I listen to ain't like no other Christian radio that's out there, and y'all ought to give it a try. So that's how you get people invite. That's how you invite people in. So hit the share button on your Android phone. I think on your Apple devices, I think you have to swipe up. And I think that pulls up the invite apparatus on that one. And then you hit share and invite friends. And then when you go to invite friends, then it's going to pull up all of your friends. And then you're going to see a blue invite button next to their name. You're going to see a blue invite button next to their name. And that's how you get them to be a part of the show. If you think it's worth sharing. Now, if you don't and you just want to keep it all to yourself, then, hey, that's all good, too. So anyway, let me talk about this real quick. So there's this other thing. So you know, we had this mass shooting. What's going on? Let me speak to some of y'all in the room real quick. Norma Worthy, God bless you. Hopefully you can see now. God bless you. Yolanda King, I see you. Andre Parker, what's up, Big Dre? Shiante Bulis, what? Look here. Shiante Bulis done showed up on a Friday, and didn't nobody have to. And ain't nobody got to say nothing about it. Look at God, won't he do it? T-Bones, what's going on, Tim? What's going on, Big Tim? I got your message. I'm going to call you after the show. I got your message. I was prepping for the show, which when you called me and you sent me that message, I got you. I'm going to call you as soon as the show is over. I promise you, I got you. No big deal. I got you. I ain't going to leave you hanging. I think I know what's going on, but it's probably going to be on something. It's going to be on a day that I'm not available, but I'm gonna give you a chance to tell me what's happening. And what it's all about, and I'll help with in any way I can. Amen. Just glad to help, you know, glad to help out any way I can. Also, I want to share this with you guys real quick. I want to share this, and it's just so you all know about the shooting that happened in Vegas. Right with the guy who did the shooting in Vegas. Well, it came out, and you know, at first I didn't believe it was true, but then I saw that a bunch of other news organizations verified it to be true. Apparently, this guy, and I'm not going to give his name no extra credit. I'm not going to give his name any extra credit on today. But apparently, he had made plans to come to Chicago. So he had made plans to come to Chicago and Boston. He had already booked hotel rooms in Chicago and Boston. He planned to come to Chicago during Lollapalooza, which was back in August. So he had intentions on coming to the city of Chicago back in August. And I'm going to assume the reason why he did not come here for whatever reason. Now, we don't know if he was coming here to try to do what he did in Vegas. But if he was, I'm sure the biggest obstacle in his path was trying to get all those guns that he was able to get in Vegas to Chicago. But it has been proven, it has been reported that he had reservations at two hotels, one of them being the Blackstone Hotel, which sits right across from Grant Park, which would have gave him pretty much the same kind of overview that he had in Vegas over the Mandalay Bay, at the Mandalay Bay spot where everything was taking place at the Country Music Festival there. So we don't know if he was going to attempt to do the same thing here, but it just lets you, it just really makes you think, you know, just how sick some of these people are. And it just gives us further evidence that there really needs to be some sort of gun laws passed. I'm not being funny. I'm not trying to, it's not about, and again, I say this as a responsible gun owner. You know, gun ownership, there needs to be some responsibility behind it. And part of the issue is right now, you know, that there is no real licensing behind gun issues. There is no license. You know, you have to have a license to drive a car, but you don't need the license to carry a gun or buy a gun. You need a driver's license to even buy a car. You do know that, right? You can't go into a car dealership and buy a car without a physical driver's license. You need a driver's license to buy a car. You need, in some states don't even require any type of firearms. Like in Illinois, we have what's called a firearms owner identification card. But that's something that's issued through the state, through our state police here in Illinois. But across the border in Indiana, where sadly most of the illegal guns come back into this city, you don't need a firearms ownership card to buy a gun. You can just walk into any gun store in Indiana and just purchase whatever type of gun you want. You can actually go and buy the same exact gun and the same exact equipment that this guy used in Vegas in Indiana, and nobody's going to ask you any questions. So it's one of these things where there needs to be just some common sense gun law. Same thing in Wisconsin. So on both states that border us, you can go to any of those states and buy a gun and then drive those guns back into the city of Chicago and then sell those guns to Pookie and Ray Ray on the street corner for a couple of $100s, right? You can sell it to them and it never comes back on you. It never comes back on you. But see, if we start to register guns the way we register what's so wrong with taking this? Every gun that I own, and I have several, every gun that I own has a serial number on it. Every one of them, right? Just like every car I've ever owned had a VIN number on it. What's so sad about having a gun registration system? What's so bad about having a gun registration system that says gun number 3574362 belongs to this brother? This is the person who bought this gun. This gun was then sold to this person, and this person is the new registered owner of said gun. What's wrong with that? I really want to know the argument. I know what my Second Amendment people are going to say. You just want to say this so you can come and take my gun. You know what? You can go sit the hell down. Ain't nobody trying to hear that. But what's the real issue with having real gun firearm owner registration? What's the real issue? And I know it's a lot of people, a lot of our my folks downstate Illinois who are, you know, gun owners, and they love their firearms and all that. And I'm not nobody is disputing your right to carry a gun. But what gun? What? Why do I need a gun? First of all, and this whole bump stock thing, there's this mechanism that goes on the back of a semi-automatic gun that once you depress it, it holds the trigger down, and it continues to allow the trigger to pull without you constantly having to pull the trigger. But you can buy those in any of these gun shows anywhere. But who needs that much firepower? And these are not, and again, and I've said this before, the AR-15, the M12, none of these are hunting rifles. These aren't hunting rifles that people are buying. Hunting rifles are rifles that carry 5 and 6 shots at a time. That's it. There's no hunting rifle that carries 50 rounds. That's not a hunting rifle. That's an assault rifle. It's made, the reason it's called an assault rifle is because it's made to assault. The whole purpose of creating it is to be able to mow down groups of people at one time. It's not for hunting. Don't be fooled by this. And it's really sad, man. It's really sad that this is where we are. But I really want anybody, and I wish I had. I know a lot of my people, you know, I have a lot of friends who are you know, conservative, and a lot of them, you know, will be the first ones to tell you that, you know, they don't believe that there needs to be any type of new gun laws. I'm not saying enforce gun laws. I'm not talking about new gun laws. I'm talking about simply making guns, every new gun, every gun that's out should be able to go through a registration process. How crazy is this? Let me give you an example, right? Let me show you how silly the thought is of not having guns registered in a database, a nationwide database. So, you know, you go to a store, right? You go to the store. Let's say you go to the store and you buy a pair of jeans, right? So you go and you buy that pair of jeans. And that pair of jeans has a price tag on it, and I'm talking about some of these. I'm talking about these reputable stores. I ain't talking about these other stores. I'm talking about reputable stores. I'm talking about large end stores. You know, like Macy's, Lord & Taylor, Nordstrom's, Carson's, any of those. Right? You go to buy a pair of jeans. On those jeans, I'll even take it a step further. On those jeans, they all have what you see me holding up. Those of you who can see me on Facebook and Ustream. They have this thing called a barcode, right? That barcode is in a database. That barcode lets me know who bought those jeans and lets me know what store those jeans were purchased from. Now, jeans ain't important, but we can keep track of where you bought blue jeans. Now, if you can keep track of where you bought blue jeans, watch this. They can even keep track. If you go to a store, right? If something happens with milk or meat in a store, and they come back and they say, well, this meat was bad, they can scan. If you get sick and you say, I bought my meat from Jewel, and Jewel can then turn around and say, well, what meat did you buy? And you go back and say, well, I bought this meat. Jewel can go back and track that meat all the way back to the distribution plant. And then said distribution plant can go back and track that meat all the way back to the farm on which the cows came from. We can track meat. We can track clothes. We can track cars. But you're telling me we won't, that us trying to figure out where a gun was purchased and who the owners were is not important? Really? You expect me to go? We go all out. When there was a salmonella outbreak, they were able to track that all the way back to the manufacturing plant and to find out what happened. Was there something that happened at the manufacturing plant, or was there something wrong with the cows? When the whole mad cow disease jumped off some years ago, we were able to go all the way back and track where those cows came from mad cow disease. But when it comes down to tracking guns, we don't want to keep track of who the gun owners are. We want to just pretend that it's okay. How silly is that? How silly is that? And watch this. We can blame the National Rifle Association all we want, but if we as Americans would unify behind this one thing, it would be fixed immediately. Because, see, the NRA got money, but they ain't got no whole lot of – they ain't got the kind of money that can stop you from voting something down. If y'all said, you know what? No. Every gun needs to be registered, and we need to know who's buying them. Every gun. We can track medicine. Seriously. We can track, look, we track our cell phones. They can tell you who sold cell phones. We can track everything, shoes, handbags, all that stuff. Right, you're right. You're right, Jill Allison. You can track all of these things. But when it comes down to tracking these guns, because you really want to know the real reason why, because if we start tracking these guns, then you have to start locking folks up. Because, see, here is the deal. If I go to Indiana, right across the border, take me what? Right now, if I left right now, I could be at a gun store. Matter of fact, let me look it up. I can't do it on the thing. Let me look it up. What's Tanya? Look up a gun store in Indiana for me. Tanya, look up a gun store in Indiana for me. Just Google closest gun store and look. You're gonna find one in Indiana. I believe it's Big Jim's or somebody gun store in Indiana. And then tell me how far it is, and I can go there right now. Leave this studio, go get as many guns as my money will spend, buy them, come back to Chicago, and then sell them to random people on the street, and it will never come back to me. It'll never come back to me. Because nobody's doing a background check. Nobody is saying, hey, here is this, here is that. We go through all type of stuff to buy a car. Look, you got to get a background, almost a dang on near background check to buy a cell phone. You need a credit check to get a cell phone, a credit check to get a car. But to buy a gun, you just need to be a good old American. America. You just need to be an American. American, I can buy a gun because I'm in America. That's what that means. What? And the reason why they won't tell us where these guns are coming from is because there's too much money being made behind the scenes. But I've said this on this show, and I've said it a million times. All it takes, and I know some people are going to say, well, preacher, I don't know if that's a good idea on what you're saying. But trust me when I tell you. If black folks buy the hundreds, we start off with the hundreds, started going to these gun shops in Indiana, even in our local stores, right, even in the ones we have here in Illinois, the ones in Lombard, the ones around this immediate area, the ones that are closer to us, and we just started buying guns by the boatload. Like, everybody went and started just bought five guns. They ain't even got to be the high-end guns. Just guns. Now, you know how they say they can't track the guns, right? That's what they say. They say there's no database. They can't track the guns. I promise you, if all of a sudden hundreds and thousands of black folk, African-Americans and Hispanic-Americans, Latinos, and all these other folks started buying guns, and we start showing up at Big Jim's ammo and buying guns and doing all of these things. If we started doing that, trust me, a light would go off somewhere and somebody would make a phone call and somebody would say, wait a minute, why are all these black folks buying these guns? What's about to happen that all these black folks are buying guns? And then all of a sudden, I promise you there would be some new regulations in place. Y'all don't hear me. I promise you, if black folks started buying guns, This guy had amassed 49 rifles, 49 semi-automatic weapons. Huh? If black folks started going to gun shows and showing up, and you know how they had these, they had these pop-up gun shows down in rural parts of our state, even here in Illinois, but you can find them all over the country. All you got to do is Google gun show. Find me a gun show, and it'll and just Google that. So just type in Google, find me a gun show, and they will tell you where the closest gun show is to you. And you can drive to the gun show. There is no waiting time. There is no background check. And however much money you got, that's how many guns you can buy. But I promise you, let about 100 black, like you know how we mount up and we want to go to a protest and we get on a bus and 50 or 60 of us go somewhere. Let a couple of bus loads of black folk just start pulling up at some gun shows. I know y'all going to act like y'all don't hear me, but it's okay. Let a couple of bus loads of black folk pull up at some gun shows and at some gun stores and just go in and everybody buy two, three guns apiece. If everybody starts buying guns, I promise you they're going to start tracking these guns. Huh? I promise you we won't hear nothing about, well, you know, we don't know where the guns were purchased and well, they were purchased legally and all this other kind. Because, see, our issue here in the city is not the legal handguns. The handguns that are here in the city, the first owner bought them legally, right? The problem is we don't know how many times they changed hands. But if I guarantee you, if it was black folks buying all these guns, if I showed up with $5,000 and I went into the local gun store and said, give me three of them AR-15s, give me a couple of them action guns over there. Give me a few. Oh yeah, give me a couple of them Glocks. And I walked out of there with a duffel bag full of guns. I promise you, somebody before I got back to the highway, that gun owner, even though he done made his money, I promise you, look at here, he done got my license plate number, and he done called ahead and said, look here, I don't know if y'all need to know this or not, but just had a one of them coloreds just left my store. And he had a whole bunch of other coloreds with him. And these coloreds is down here buying up guns. And something need to happen because I think they're about to rise up. I'm just trying to tell somebody. So don't tell me what we can't do. If we can track a pair of blue jeans from the time they got to your store up until the time they got returned and resold, you can't tell me you can't track guns. It's just like with a car. If you got a car, right, and you own the car, the title to the car, right, but you decide to sell the car, huh? Right. You decide to sell the car, right? Somebody come to you and say, man, you want to buy my car? All right, here you go. Give me $4,000. And they give you $4,000 in cash, right? And you just give them the car. And then something happens with the car. They use the same car. Now, mind you, they took your plates off the car, but that VIN number still registered to you, right? So now you go and you go mow down a whole bunch of people with your car, or your car is found being a part of the commission of a crime. And when that car is found at the scene, they're going to look and see who the owner of the car is. Now, watch this. The person you sold the car to and the person he sold the car to and the person he sold the car to, they all gone. You know who's going to get locked through that? Who the police going to come knock on? Yours, the original car owner, because you didn't sell the car the right way. You never got the title changed. You didn't go through any of those processes. And because you didn't go and do what was necessary to get it done, we're going to hold you accountable. We're going to hold you accountable. All we got to do is start holding these original purchasers accountable. And the reason you can't do it is because they don't have no way. They don't have any way of tracking the guns that are purchased at gun shows. No way at all. That's just something I wanted. I just felt the need to talk about that because I saw this thing about this guy was possibly going to be coming here to Chicago. He had a room and also in Boston and everywhere else. But, you know, and it just brought me back to the larger issue with guns. Again, I believe in everybody's right to bear arms. I say what I'm saying. Right. And you might not go to jail, even though you right. And you might go to jail, even though you sold a cop. Right. It's just one of them things where it's just common sense. And if we start holding people accountable, then I think you see an immediate shift in gun violence. Because now when somebody goes and shoots up a corner with a bunch of kids standing on the corner or shoots into a crowd and they arrest the person who did the shooting, they can also turn around and say, well, you got this gun from so-and-so, let's go get him too. That way the ATF, alcohol, tobacco, and firearms, can show up at their door and say, hey, how did this gun end up over here? And don't tell me it was stolen, because where's the police report? Don't say it was stolen. So guess what? You get the same amount of time Lil Pookie gonna get for doing the shooting, because that makes you an accessory after the fact. That's how you end gun violence in this city. People are saying, you're talking about, what do we do with the, do you want to end gun violence in this city? Start holding the original gun owners accountable. Because once the word gets out that I can't just go buy a bunch of guns and drop them off, because now my name is attached to it, guess what's going to happen? I'm going to have to find a new way of getting you these guns. Because the way it's working right now, exactly. And you're absolutely right, Ms. Allison. They don't want to end it. They don't want to end it because there's too much money in it. Because look at it this way. Look at it this way. How much money is being spent to support these nonviolence, stop the violence movement? A lot. There's a lot of money being invested in that too, right? And see, when you're putting money up for that, that's money that could be going towards education. That's money that could be going towards after school programs. But because of the violence, you have to invest it into these other things. So you see what I'm saying? There's too much money behind it to end it the right way. There's too much money behind it. So why end it? Because it's a money grab on both ends. So it's just something I just thought I would share with you all. If you want to comment, man, you're more than welcome to do so. Feel free to give us a call. The phone number to the show is area code 347-934-0546. Again, that's area code 347-934-0546. We'd love to hear from you on the show. If you want to email us, you can do that as well, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. We'd love to hear from you via our email as well. Nothing wrong with reading the email or two, but I'm just telling you, it's mind-boggling. And honestly, I think for anyone in the city of Chicago, our state representatives, those who represent all the wards, the different, not the wards, but the all the different districts throughout the city, all those that throughout the city that represent districts throughout the city, I think if we held them accountable and said, look here, I don't care what it's going to cost you. I don't care how much money you're getting from the National Rifle Association. I don't care how much money that you're getting paid. You're being lobbied by these different organizations. We need you to support this gun registration law, this gun accountability law. Whereas the first owner, the owner of the gun, the legal owner of the gun, gets just as much time as the person who commits the crime and who's caught with the gun. I take it a step further. You know, when we have those gun turn-ins, y'all know what I'm talking about? When we have those gun buyback programs, and the city takes those guns in. And the person who turned and the people get a bunch of these guns and stuff turned in. I know that they say they give them to you scot free, and you know there's nothing to be to happen from it. But what I really don't know what they do, but I would really hope, and I guess I should ask someone to find out. What I would really hope they do is that they take the time to run registration checks on those guns to see who the original purchaser was. And you find out that a gun was bought in Iowa and it's up. A gun was bought in Iowa 10 years ago and it's up here in Chicago. You need to know how that gun got here. We can track used cars. We can track cars. There's a big thing going on right now telling people be careful in the next few months buying used cars because some of those used cars may end up coming from some of these flood zone areas. So they want you to be careful because they know they can track based off the VIN number and where the car was delivered and the last place it was delivered to, whether or not it could have been in the area that was flooded. But we can't track a 9mm that was used to shoot teenagers, that was used to kill kids. We can't do that. I'm going to leave it alone. I'm going to leave it alone for now. That was something that was in my that was just bothering me, and I just had to had to share that with you. Shiante Bulee says it's a cipher. They create the problem and then pretend to be concerned about curing it. Yeah. You know, that was something that was said years ago about computers. You know that it's a fake story that's going around, and you don't know it's fake. It's not the fake story. What's the term I'm looking for? My vocabulary has left me right now when I'm thinking about it. A conspiracy. There's a conspiracy theory. Thank you. I had to help myself. There's a conspiracy theory that's out right now that's been out for years that said the computer virus companies like McAfee and Norton and all these other ones are the same companies that's responsible for creating the computer viruses in order to make money on the other end. That's been a geek nerd conspiracy theory for years. That the very people who create computer viruses are the ones who turn around and then create the computer protection software. That has been around since the age of personal computers in the home. That has been a behind-the-scenes story for years. There's been no proof of it. There's been no, but that has been a conspiracy theory for years that they created the problem so they could then create a market for the solution, thus making billions of dollars. Same thing with the guns. You let the problem go long enough so that you can then turn around and create all these other programs. And so now we have more. We're spending more time trying to find non-violence programs versus finding programs that actually benefit our children, benefit them on the educational side. God bless you, Dana Miller. Good to see you. I haven't seen you in a while. Bless you. But it's just amazing that this has been the case. Okay, let's fast forward again. Our president, Donald Trump, was down in Puerto Rico last week, and he went down there to check on the efforts of the cleanup process and everything that was going on down there. And there's a picture of him throwing paper towels to the people, It's a few days old. I didn't really get a chance to mention it to you before, but it's just amazing to me the lack of concern and ineptitude that this president has. His lack of knowing the moment of being able to in church, if I can bring it back home as a preacher or a worship leader, you know, you have to recognize the room that you're in. Any good preacher, good pastor would tell his associates that when you're up preaching and when you're up singing, you need to recognize the atmosphere in the room. And if you see the atmosphere shifting, you need to ride that wave of the atmosphere in the room. Donald Trump does not get that. The only time he gets that is when he's at his rallies and he's talking reckless. That's the only time he recognizes when he says something about if he makes the statement, oh, crooked Hillary or emails and all this other stuff, and he can rile up his base, then he rides that wave. And that's when he starts talking reckless and he becomes who he really is. But when it comes time to him to be somber and be caring and show some empathy towards people, if it ain't on a teleprompter, he can't do it. If it's not on a teleprompter, he can't do it, which pretty much lets us know how fake it is and how fake the whole process is. It just gives us insight to how fake he is as a person. How he really has no real moral code. And it's really a sad state of affairs, but this is who he is. But this picture of him tossing paper towel to people like they're animals in need. It's really a sad thing. And then I'll take it a step further. I don't know if you all saw this or not, but they were comparing the amount of giving. They were comparing the amount of giving for Puerto Rico to the other amounts of giving that took place in Florida and in Texas, and how the amount of giving and some people want to put it as a giving hangover, that people have gave all they can give, and that could be the case. That could be the case, that people have given all they could give, but I beg to differ, and I'll tell you why. I think it's more because of who they're giving it to, and when you had a president go online first, go on the air and on the airwaves, and talk about Puerto Rico. First of all, have people forgotten that Puerto Rico is actually a part of the United States? Do we not know that? I mean, do we not know that Puerto Rico is a part of our Puerto Rico is considered to be part of our of the United States of America? Do we not know that? So instead of treating it like it's some foreign country, because that's the way he's treating it. Oh, well, you know, they don't handle their money right, and this, that, and the third, or whatever. Okay. Do we not know that there are Americans in Puerto Rico? That there's over a million Americans living, 2 million Americans living in Puerto Rico? But the depth in which he speaks about it, it's almost like somebody had to tell him, you know, this is part of these Americans, right? It's really sad, man. It's sad. And I know it's what we're stuck with for the next 4 years. There's really nothing that can be done about it for the next 4 years. But it is what it is, and it's just sad. And we're just gonna continue to pray for them. And then now we hear there's a tropical storm Nate that's now on its way to the Gulf off the Gulf Coast of the United States, and it's already tore up Honduras. And it's just, man, we just talked about this the other day, and they're just storms. I agree, they're just storms, but it's a time in our lives where yes, it's hurricane season. Maybe it's probably one of the worst hurricane seasons ever. But it's just amazing what the path of these storms are, just following the same path. They're not you know what I'm saying. It's just like, hey, we're gonna keep doing this, and they're just gonna keep coming. So now Tropical Storm Nate is doing what it's doing, and It's just a bad deal. So look, y'all, we're gonna take a break. When we come back, we're gonna jump into today's conversation. How to get past the post Sunday blues. That's next on TTLO Radio. Y'all, we're gonna be right back. Y'all stay blessed. TTLO. We picking up the cross and taking the limit off, taking the limit off.
That you're enjoying today's broadcast. If you have any questions or simply would like to comment on today's show, please give us a call at 347 334-0546, or you can reach us at 855-381-8804. We would like to hear from you.
Amen, 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 amen. We are back, we are back, we are back. I see some of y'all in on the phone lines. God bless y'all on the phone lines. My God. Y'all got something to say? Hit push one. You got something you want to add to any of the conversation that we've been having? Go ahead, push one. That'll get you to my producer. She'd be glad to get you on over to me. Man, phone lines lit up. I just feel like I want to push the button and make y'all say something, but I ain't going to do it. 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 God bless y'all, though. But y'all come on in. Again, it's Praise Break Friday, and I just, you know, I just thought I would share some of the things with you all that was going on. But we got this really good article, right? And I know y'all say, he always says it's a good article, but it's a really good article. We got this really good article, and it's simply entitled How to Get Past Post-Sunday Blues. How to Get Past Post-Sunday Blues. That's the topic of conversation, man. I hope y'all ready for it, because I know I am. And it's going to be good. We're gonna jump right into that, and hopefully it blesses somebody. And as usual, I'm gonna talk a little bit, and y'all feel free to talk back. And it done got quiet on here. I don't see no hearts. I don't see no likes. I don't see nothing. Maybe y'all just sitting back and y'all just, you know, maybe y'all thinking. Are y'all thinking? Y'all on, you know, what's going on? I know it's gloomy outside, but, you know, just act like God done did something for you. Don't just sit there. Come on. Act like you know him. Act like you know who he is. Amen. Amen and amen. So let's jump right into today's conversation, how to get past post-Sunday blues, how to get past the post-Sunday blues. Let me jump right in on this. This is what the writer says, right? How to get past the post-Sunday blues. He starts off with Proverbs 4:23. He says, keep your heart with all vigilance, for it flows springs of life. The writer says, the hours following Sunday morning are widely considered a low point of the week for worship leaders and pastors of all stripes. He says, the highs of leading at full capacity has worn off, and we reawaken beneath that familiar but no less ominous cloud of despondency. Exhausted and spent, we proceed to analyze each moment of the day's worship service in painstaking detail, questioning every decision and inwardly beating ourselves black and blue for every looming mistake. And we talk about post-Sunday blues. Here's the deal. You know how Sundays go. Sundays, especially if you're at a church that has high worship. Now, if your church is mediocre, then this article ain't gonna do nothing for you. Let me say that again. If your church is mediocre, meaning y'all just have service and y'all just go home, then let me just be upfront. This article ain't gonna do nothing for you. It just ain't. Y'all, I just read these comments, Geography 101. Oh God. Y'all blessed me. Y'all done blessed me with that one. Here's the deal. But if you are a preacher, pastor, a worship leader, and you're at a church where the praise is always high, where the atmosphere of the very presence of God is always present, and when you're done, you leave church exhausted. Right? You leave church exhausted. You leave church feeling like, man, I mean, you leave church almost feeling like you do when you leave the gym. You know, you leave the gym and you like, man, you know you accomplished something. You know what I'm saying? But then afterwards, there is this lull period. And if you're in leadership should always be looking back, seeing what could have been done differently. You should always want to examine your service. You should always want to examine anything that you put before. Okay, what could I have done differently with this service? And sometimes, like the writer just said, we will beat ourselves up. We'll beat ourselves up because we'll realize we had too many mistakes, there was too much this and too much that. So this is what this article is for, those people who always want to try to give their best to God, but realize that sometimes after the Sunday morning service is over, you're empty and you kind of fall into this area of loneliness. So let's talk about it. The writer says this. He says, first consider your heart. First consider your heart. He says this. He says, The reality is that post-Sunday blues are symptomatic of what is ultimate in a leader's heart. He says, if you wish to truly understand yourself, pay close attention to your thought patterns and desires in that 24 hours after Sunday morning. This will tell you everything you need to know about the condition of your soul and what idols you are prone to worship when the high wears off. He says, the truth is that we all run to certain things in order to cope with the spiritual and personal doldrums of ministry. He says, some leaders buckle under condemnation, resorting to morbid introspection and self-focus, while others pretend it isn't there, suppressing their despondency to maintain appearances. Both of these coping methods will inevitably blow up in your face in a number of ways. Therefore, we need better strategies. Let's talk about this. I know how I am. I am a people ask me, you know, like I give you an example. I had to teach. I taught Bible study this past Wednesday at my church for the first time in almost a year and a half. It's been almost 18 months since I had the privilege of teaching Bible study. That's a long time. It is. That's a long time. So I was highly critical of myself, of how I thought the class went. Now, other people gave me their opinions, and I appreciate them, and I do, but I was highly critical of the moments afterwards. So my drive home, I felt this thing like, okay, I could have did this better. I spent too much time on this. You know, I let the subject veer over here, and I should have brought it back over here. I'm the same way with my preaching. People will come to you and say, ooh, preacher, ooh, you know, you gave me a word. And man, I don't know. And I'm sitting there like, yeah. And I'm sitting back, and I'll go home later, and I'll reread my information or my presentation or whatever it was that I gave as a sermon. And I'll reread through it and go, wow, how did I miss this? Or, ooh, this is a big old error right here. And how did I let this? And this is a run on sentence. And this is that. You spend a lot of time doing that rather than focusing on, did you accomplish God's goal that he gave you? You know, if you're part of a praise and worship ministry, you know, if you're part of a music department, you know, how did what you planned go out? Okay, y'all practiced this song, you sang it. What was the outcome? Not did anybody shout. That's not the outcome. But do you feel you gave God your best, or is it something that you should have worked on for a few more weeks? These are questions that we ask ourselves as leaders. Let's take it outside the church. If you're a manager and you have meetings with your employees, and after the meeting is over, you go back and you look at your notes and your bullet points, and you say, okay, did I hit all these right? Did I present these in the way that people actually understood it? Or did I spend too much time doing something else? That's what I'm talking about. That feeling you get after it's done. So let's talk about this. Strategies for joy on Sunday afternoon. He says, so where can we find deep abiding joy as we battle ministerial despondency? He says, can we really outfox our post-Sunday melancholy? He says, I like to offer four practical suggestions to combat depression at a heart level in the wake of the Sunday morning. Then he says, hopefully these will help us all to see, contrary to our common experience, Sunday is actually an opportunity to be strengthened in the joy of the Lord. So let's jump right into it. This is what he says. The first thing we need to do on Sundays, and this is for anybody in any position, leadership position in the church, choir, pastor, worship leader, usher, deacon, whatever. When Sunday is over, recall your vision for Sunday. Recall your vision for Sunday. That's the first one. Recall your vision for Sunday morning. The writer says this: your vision for ministry is a surprising part of the struggle for joy. On the commute home after a particularly difficult Sunday, he says, I will ask myself in a spirit of prayer, did we uphold your vision today? Oh my God, what would happen if we start asking that question? Did we uphold your vision today? He says, I do this because there's something significant about going back to square one in retrospect. So to keep the main thing on Sunday afternoon, he says, so keep the main thing on Sunday afternoon. Otherwise, you get swallowed up in the minutia and thereby intensify the very disillusionment you should be fighting. Therefore, by God's grace, allow your vision for ministry to inform your perception of ministry before anything else. What does that simply mean? It's called going back and doing an assessment of what just took place. What was your vision for that service? It's just like God gives us messages, right? God has given me a message, and I haven't said anything. I haven't made one announcement on this show, and I'm not. But I will say this. I am preaching on Sunday morning here at my church, and it's the first time I've preached at my church, my home church. I'm going to put it out there. The first time I've preached at my home church since December of 2016. So it has been some time since I preached at my own church. Now, I've been at a bunch of y'all's churches, and I've been did some outside preaching, but it's the first time I preached here at my home church since December, and it's a little nerve wracking. I'll say that it is, but it's gonna be good. And if you're able to come out, those of you in the Chicagoland area, I'd love to have you in the house to see some smiling faces and some positive thoughts and vibes, because I need your prayers. But I say this. Anytime God gives me a message, he gives me the message for the message, and there is a vision and a purpose and a goal behind it, right? When you do that, you want to make sure. Now, you want to make sure at the end of it, did I accomplish what I set out to do? And I like what he says. Did we uphold the vision, the purpose of the message? Was it understood? And you'll know that right away based off of some of the feedback you get. Because, see, we don't need any more messages to make you shout. Now, can we just tell the truth? We don't need no more feel-good messages. Oh, you know, the presence of the Lord is here, and oh, can't you just feel him? And the joy of the Lord is my strength. We don't need no more of that. Don't get me wrong. Ain't nothing like a good shout. Now, I holler with the best of them. But people need to see living sermons. Sermons need to cause you to think and take a – the first thing they need to cause you to do – look, this is what happens with me when I start writing. The first person that the sermon hits is me. As I'm typing, I go, okay, Lord, thank you for smacking me upside the head because you just stepped on my toes. Thank you, Lord, for pointing the finger back at me because now I have to look in the mirror at me. Lord, why do you want me to preach this when you know I'm talking about myself? But that's the purpose of messages. Every time Jesus spoke to people, he spoke with the hope that they would take an inward look at themselves and then start the process of making change. No, you ain't going to change after you heard the word that day. But what should happen is the purpose of it is to plant a seed. It's to plant a seed. I'm doing a teaching right now on accountability, and at my church, I'm teaching it, and I'm making it real personal for them because I'm talking about it in a way that affects them, and it affects us and our ministry here that God has placed us in. So I can get a little deeper than some others because I want you to think about it while you're going through the process. So part of what should happen is at the end, you should recall your vision. What was the purpose of what, you know, if you're a praise and worship leader, why did we choose these songs? You know, understand what I'm saying? Why did we choose these songs? And did you accomplish what you set out to accomplish? Did you accomplish what you set out to accomplish? This is good, y'all. We're talking about how to get past the post-Sunday blues. I'll take your questions, your comments. Those of you on Ustream, God bless y'all on Ustream. The chat room is open on Ustream, too, so y'all can type in your box. I don't know if you're listening on your phone. Sometimes the chat room is a little difficult, but if there should be a chat button on there. If you're watching on your computer, you can chat right there. Open up the chat box. It's open. The email address is open, takinglimitsoff@comcast.net. We'd love to read your emails on the air. You're definitely able to do that. We'd be glad to hear from you in that particular medium. We'd love to hear from you. Absolutely, absolutely. We'd love to do that. And then those of you watching online via Facebook Live and Ustream, you can reach us. Let me give you the call-in number, too, on here. It's 347, area code 347-934-0546 is the call-in number for the show if you want to call in. Or you can chat right there. Same thing with you guys on Facebook Live. Area code 347-934-0546. You can reach us there. The email address is takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. Takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. Amen. Let's keep going. Point number two says this. He says, how to get past the post-Sunday blues. He says, remember your identity. Remember your identity. Remember who you are. The writer says this. He says, who does God say that you are? What promises has he made to you in his word? Serious, prayerful consideration of these types of questions will help you maintain gospel sanity on Sunday afternoon. He says, according to scripture, you are adopted by God and are therefore a co-heir with his son. That's Romans 8, 12, and 17. He says, you have been crucified with Christ and are now eternally united with him by faith. Galatians 2 and 20. All the promises of God, all the promises God has made to you are yes and amen in him. 2 Corinthians 1 and 20. He says, so stop listening to yourself and start talking to yourself about who you are in Christ. Simple. Don't lose your identity. So you can get caught up in the title and all of the stuff and the drama that comes in with the title and forget who you are in Christ. It's just like in relationships. You can get so caught up with other people that you forget who you are. So we need to make sure that we don't fall into these doors, because see, if I'm so concerned about my title and who I am as far and who you see me as, and I start to forget who God sees me as. Oh, what a blessing. Oh, what a people we would become if we stopped worrying about how people saw us and were more concerned about, are we living up to who God says we are? Oh, what a powerful people we would become. Oh, what a powerful church we would become if we remembered our identity and our purpose. That's a wonderful thing when you remember who you are. It's just like for people who come from impoverished areas, or who come from areas with strong moral backgrounds and convictions, and then all of a sudden they get somewhere else and they make a lot of money, and then they start living foul or living crazy like the prodigal son who went out and lived lavishly all out and lavishly all over the place and lived outside of himself. And then when he lost everything and recognized he had nothing else, the Bible says he came to himself. Oh, help me right now. The Bible says he came to himself. He recognized, he remembered his identity. He remembered who his father was. He remembered where he had come from. He remembered all the things that he had left behind. He got caught up in who he was trying to be, and then when all of that failed, he remembered who he was supposed to be. Oh my, that just helped somebody. See, you, the reason we fall into these depressed areas is because a lot of times we're trying to live up to something else. We're trying to live up to somebody else's standard, and we're trying to live up to some name and some title and some caricature that they have placed on you instead of who God has called you to be. Oh, what a people we would be if we just would remember our identity. Remember who God says you are. I know they're talking about you. I know they're saying some crazy stuff about you. But who does God say that you are? Woo! My. Who does God say that you are? God says you are adopted. Ah, meaning that you are a joint heir with Jesus. That's what God said. They called you something else. They say a lot about you, but God says, if we focused on what God said, oh my God, what a people we would become. What an amazing people we would become if that became our focus. Amen. Let's keep going. We on time. We got 20 minutes. God bless y'all. God bless y'all. Again, we're talking about how to get past the post-Sunday blues. Number three says this: resolve to rest. Whew, I read this one. This is for me. Resolve to rest. The writer says this. He says, let detailed evaluations of Sunday morning wait until Monday. He says, tomorrow will worry about itself, so rest today. That's Matthew 6 and 34. See, I didn't say it. I just want y'all to know. Tomorrow will worry about itself, so rest today. He says, take a nap. Watch some NFL football. Do some yard work. Play with your kids. If it helps you rest in God and enjoy the treasures of life, resolve yourself to do it. Your capacity to rest demonstrates your willingness to trust. So let Sunday be what it is and be what it was and trust God with your work. See, if we trust God, that God, and see, here's the deal. See, I don't want us to get confused. See, we'll take this and say, well, I'm just going to trust in God and I'm just going to do whatever. No. Do the best that you have and then trust that God was pleased. Now, if God sent you, if God called you, God equipped you, and he qualified you, and you did the work, you did the study for preachers and teachers and musicians, you did the practice, you put in the hours, you put in the time, singers, you took the time to learn the song, you took the time to understand what the song means, you took the time to understand the meaning behind the words and the lyrics, you took the time to do all of that, and you gave your best effort. Evaluating it can wait until Monday because you're going to trust God that you did everything the right way. Oh, my. You're going to trust God that you put your best out there and that he was edified and thus he was lifted up and the people were edified and the Holy Spirit was glorified. That's what we ought to trust God for. So we ought to rest on Sundays. Give yourself some rest afterwards. And like you said, hang out with some family. Hang out with some friends. Put your feet up. Don't overthink what just happened. The worst thing we do in church is if something happens, good or bad, we take that stuff home with us and we're sitting back thinking about it for the rest of the day. And your mind is busy. I got some preacher friends and some pastor friends, and they have this term. And it says hashtag preach hard. That's the term. It's only you just do a search for it. Hashtag preach hard. Meaning give God all of it. Give him all of it. Give him every bit of what you have in you when you're delivering for him. Like Prophet Cornelius Williams said the other day, I'm God's mouthpiece. So when I stand up and I stand in the pulpit or I stand behind a lectern and I'm teaching and I'm preaching or whatever it is, or even behind a microphone at this radio show, do it all the way. I mean, to the best of what you can. And then rest. And then rest. That's what we ought to do. Resolve yourself to rest. Amen. Amen. Resolve yourself to rest. I'm feeling this thing. This is all right with me. Maybe y'all chilling, but this is all right with me. I'm feeling this thing. Resolve yourself to rest. Resolve yourself to rest. Amen. Amen. Let's keep going. Number four says this, the last one. Relate to others. Uh-oh. Can you relate to other people? Are you able, after everything is said and done, can you relate to other people? Are people able to relate to you? Are you relatable? Or are you so far up here that you can't relate? Are you so forward thinking that your present people can't even follow you? Or are you so past thinking that nobody else wants to listen to you because they're tired of hearing about it? You get what I'm saying? There has to be a happy medium there. There has to be a happy medium. It just can't be about you and your stuff. Are you relatable? Amen. Let's go right into it. So the writer says this. He says, relate to others. Whew, my God. That says a lot right there. Relate to others. He says, lastly, don't combat post-Sunday despondency alone. You must be faithful to relate to others in the midst of your struggle for joy. He says, after all, we are hardwired for relationship. If you don't believe us, see Genesis 2:18. So honestly communicate the reality of your despondency with godly people whom you trust. Let me say that again. Relate what happened with godly people you trust. Don't just go telling any and everybody. Don't just go talking to any and everybody who can't pour something back into you. That's what that means. He says, so honestly communicate the reality of your despondency with godly people whom you trust. He said, this might be your spouse or your other half, your significant other, another staff member from your church or a prayer partner. Whatever you do, don't manage it on your own. He says, instead, make someone aware and ask them to commit to praying for you each Sunday afternoon. You'll be surprised by the encouragement you receive from such relationships. Oh, my. That's good. Good. Relate to other people. Have some people that you can talk to. So at the end of the day, you're not carrying all that just happened by yourself. You got to be able to be in a position to be able to lean on some other folks. You really need to be in a position that you can lean on other people. That's just good common sense thinking. Because when you do that, when you do that, you make room to have some other people carry your weight, carry your burdens with you. That way you don't fall into this depression of it's all on me. It's all on me. I'll use myself for an example. A lot of times, and I just had this conversation, when I'm here, like right now, I'm in the studio by myself, right? There's no one here. If I could turn the camera around, it's this big old empty room, and I'm all by myself in here, and it's just me and y'all, right? I'm having this conversation. And a lot of times, I felt like I have been doing this by myself. Even though I have a producer on the other side, I have people who support the show on the other side, and they do a lot on the other side. But what will happen is if you keep that feeling of loneliness to yourself, then as things get harder, you're only going to start to fall into some form of depression and loneliness. But if you allow yourself to lean on other people and watch this, because you find out what you're going through, you're not going through alone. Ooh, my God. What you'll find is that this is not some burden that you're carrying by yourself. You'll find out that this ain't that. So you have to make yourself relatable where watch this, where not only can you talk to people, but the same people can now turn around and come back to you. So they understand, okay, I understand you're tired. I'm not going to bother you. Mostly everybody that knows me since I accepted this call to preach, they know that when I'm done preaching on the times that I preach, when I'm done, I'm tired. I need to go sit down and chill. Yeah, I still want to eat. I still like to eat food. But as far as doing a whole lot of, you know, stuff, I just want to sit down and relax. And whether that's sit around good company, sit around family, sit around friends, that's it. But I still want to sit back and just relax. And you should have people in your life. There should be people in your life who will allow you to do just that. There should be people around you and people in your life who allow you to sit back and relax, and you should be able to relate to people. So you have to be relatable. That way you're not spending these times and these hours alone, and you don't have this feeling of loneliness. And you can get away from those post-Sunday blues. Amen. Let's finish this out. This is good, y'all. Again, we were talking about how to get past the post-Sunday blues. This is what this is how the writer closes this out. He says, dear worship leader, he says, dear worship leader, God is pleased with you. He says he doesn't love you based on the quality of your performance in ministry. He loves you based on the righteousness of his son with whom he was well pleased. He says, thus, Sunday afternoon isn't a source of condemnation. You must merely survive. He says, rather, it's an opportunity for you to thrive in the gospel. God has given us the resources we need to outfox our disillusionment and fight for joy. He says, after all, he is more committed to your joy than you are. He didn't spare his own son to save us, and he won't start holding out on us now. Oh, my God. Think about that for a moment. He didn't spare his own son to save us, so why would he start holding out now? If he wouldn't spare his only son, then why would you think that he won't still show up and show out for you now? He already gave you his absolute best. So anything else he gives you at this point is less than what he gave you some 2,000 years ago. My. He closes out with this. He says, so let his grace take the lead as you take steps to redeem Sunday afternoon from the tyranny of despondency. That's good. That's good. Don't allow yourself to fall into this trick on Sundays of falling into these depression moods where you feel like you could have did so much more on Sunday. Where you feel like, you know what, I gave my best, but I really wish, I feel like I had so much more to give. Don't fall into that, because see, it's easy to fall into that and feel like you're all alone and that no one is with you. But if you recognize, for one, that God is with you, but then that God puts people in your lives and he surrounds you with people to keep you from falling. To keep you from falling into these pits of depression, these pits of despondency, these areas of overthinking issues. Anybody else sometimes find yourself in a position of overthinking? I know I am. I am immensely guilty of overthinking. And in the process, you don't even get to enjoy the fruits that God has blessed you with. Because we're too busy trying to think of the next big thing, the next big moment, and oh, I wish I could have did this better. Oh, I wish I could have did that better, instead of appreciating the moment for what it was. If you gave your best, then you gave your best. Think about that for a moment. If you gave your best based off of all of the studying and training and research and contextualizing you could, rehearsing, musicianship, whatever it was, if you gave your best based on that, then there's no reason to beat yourself up about it. What you ought to do is say, is there anything more I could do as far as my prep time? But the worst thing you could do is beat yourself immediately after it's over. See, I had to learn a long time ago in preaching, and it was a harsh lesson I had to teach to myself. Just because you don't get amen don't mean folk didn't get it. And then I had to realize I'm not preaching for amens. I'm not preaching for amens. I don't preach for you to shout hallelujah. I don't preach for you to jump up and get happy. So I just thought I would share that with you. That was an amazing. I thought that was good. It might have been a little too deep for some of y'all, but it wasn't. It really wasn't. It really hit home. It was really, really good. How to get past post-Sunday blues. So look, I want to share this with you all. And I said this. I had not been making any announcements about it. But look, God bless you, twin. What's going on, Angela Johnson? What's up, Gloria Ellis? Princess Johnson. I see all these people just joined the room late. I see y'all though. Connie Swain. I see you. Real quick. So I am preaching this Sunday at my church. Now I know a lot of y'all got church homes. A lot of y'all have duties at your church, and I don't want to take nobody from their duties at your church. But if you're able to get away, I would love to see you in the place on Sunday. I would love to see you in the place on Sunday. I'm preaching all month actually at my church this Sunday, and because of that. I really would love if any of you all who are in the Chicagoland area, you're welcome to come by. It's an 11 o'clock morning service. I promise you'll be out by 1 o'clock. I promise you'll be out by 1. I promise you that. You'll be out by 1 o'clock. You come, that'll give you time to still go home and watch the depressing Chicago Bears if that's how you choose to punish yourself. But you are more than welcome to come out the rest of this month of October. On any Sunday, I would be glad and blessed and honored and privileged to look up and see any of y'all's face. And some of y'all's face I probably won't recognize, but I've never met you in person. I've never met you up in person. But I'm available after the service is over, and you could just come and tap me on the shoulder and say, "Hey, you know, I'm here because you invited me from TTLO Radio, and I would just love to have you come on in." It would just be a wonderful time to see you. And that's for all of y'all. Those of you who I do know, and Angela, I see you say you're going to be driving up to Michigan, Kalamazoo. God bless you. I know you got duties at Greater Love, Greater Works. I know you got duties over there, but if Pastor Rob will let you out, if Pastor Rob will release you to come out one Sunday, you're more than welcome to come out. And support your twin and hang out with your twin one Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. It would just be an amazing, amazing thing. And you know what? You can even bring greater works with you. Y'all just pack up everybody. Y'all come on, have church with us. Yeah, I extended the whole invitation for your whole church. Y'all, you know, put them on the van and drive on down over here to the city and y'all come on out. So any of y'all can come. So, y'all come on through. Any of y'all, I know a lot of y'all are out of town, so look, and I ain't got no money to fly y'all in, but y'all more than welcome to come in as well. So it's gonna be a good time, but I gotta get out of here, y'all. Let us pray real quick. Father God, we just thank you, Lord. We just love you on today, God. We thank you even for the hard times right now, God. We thank you even for the struggle that some are going through, God. God, we even thank you for the personal struggles that some of us have to go through, God. We understand that it is just a refiner's fire that some of us happen to be going through right now, God. We know even in the refiner's fire, they don't leave what they're trying to refine in the fire. They constantly moving it and adjusting it, God, and then we know on the other side, it comes out better than pure gold. So, God, we thank you right now for the refining fire that you have us going through right now. God, we thank you for this place that you've given us. God, we thank you for this amazing platform. God, we thank you for all of our supporters and all of our listeners. God, we thank you for the watchers and viewers on Facebook Live. God, we thank you for those who watch via Ustream. God, we thank you for the listeners who've been tuned in all day, God, on the phone lines. God bless y'all. Just amazing. We thank you all for that. God, we just thank you just for being who you are in our lives, God, and we just continue to lift up the name of Jesus, God, because in your word you told us that if we do the lifting, you will do the drawing. So it is in Jesus' name that we pray this prayer. Amen. I got to go, y'all. Y'all stay blessed. I will see y'all on the flip side on Monday. Y'all stay blessed, man. TTLO. Peace.
We picking up the cross and taking the limits off, taking the limits off, taking the limits off, do it for God the boss, taking the limits off, taking the limits off, taking the limits off. We picking up the cross and taking the limits off, taking the limits off, taking the limits off, do it for God the boss, taking the limits off, taking the limits off, taking the limits off. Every day I'm living, trying to live right. Picking up my cross, it's a daily fight. Some of us in the dark, so we need light. Let's talk about his word to gain insight. Too many of us lost, though we go to church, following traditions that no longer work.
steady passing them along as if they carry worth. Christ died for our freedom, but we still hurt. Lack of knowledge got us bonded by tradition's curse. Hopefully we last, but we ain't the first. Then we judge to make matters worse. Don't hold a grudge, cause I'm in church with a wrinkled shirt. Picking up the